Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to play out loud. It's the Tony Lane Show.
Episode 354. So the fuck up there at the beginning of the show, and right off the bat, have to get the drop the first F bomb. Right, we're not even a minute into the show.
Well, it happens. You know, it happens. It's a good word.
Absolutely. So I don't know what happened there, but you guys have heard Violent New Breed a million times, so. There we go. Welcome to the show. Tony Lane here. She's Maris. And, of course, we are here for the next 60 minutes or so. And reminding you to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, BlogTalkRadio.com/TonyLaneShow. That's the destination to hear the live show. And, of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. And it is Halloween weekend.
It is.
And a day before Mischief Night, and
WWE's pulling some mischief.
They are doing some mischievous things, to say the least, as they have come to terms with the release of my diva crush, Emma. Tennille Dashwood has been released from WWE. This time officially, it seems. It's not like when they had her shoplifting at Walmart and they fired her and then hired her back really quick.
This is like an official pink slip, as well as a few other people.
They future endeavored her this time.
Yes.
Also, Darren Young released, as well as Summer Rae. Which Summer Rae has been out for quite some time, and Darren
she
Young
has.
He's been injured. Darren Young, even though he made headlines, obviously, when he came out as the first openly gay wrestler, and keyword there, openly gay, because
there's been a lot in the closet,
exactly. I mean, we knew Pat Patterson was.
Yes.
He's the first Intercontinental Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody kind of knew in the business, but they didn't really. He came out recently, but not while he was wrestling.
Yeah, so, and if you didn't really pay attention, or you didn't like have a way to get the insider information, he really didn't seem, you know, it was never portrayed like that. So
yeah, even though they did drop hints, I mean, I remember Jim Ross on an episode of Raw when they had Patterson and Briscoe in drag, and Jim Ross made
comment
that, and fellas, he's single, he said, about Patterson. So he kind of dropped a hint on Raw, but if they didn't know what was going on, it may have went over their head.
Well, yeah, they would take that as a joke. They'd be like, oh, they're dressed up as women, haha, they're saying that they're single. For the guys, you know, stuff like that. Like, they at the time would have taken it as a ha-ha.
Right. But Darren Young became the first openly gay wrestler and really made headlines for that. He was on Ellen and all this stuff. And, of course, he was part of the Primetime Players tag team with Titus O'Neil. But and they are former WWE tag team champions. Albeit very briefly, but they did have the belts for about 2 months or however long it was, and but then after they split the team up, they both, I mean, not that Titus is doing much better, I mean, Titus to me is very entertaining on the mic. So I think Titus makes a very good manager, in my opinion.
He does. He does. He's very good on the mic.
He's funny as hell to me. And he gets the, like, his facial expressions, all that shit. Like, he really is very entertaining. Exactly. But they just like making him look like a fool week in and week out. But, I mean, I like the Titus brand or Titus Worldwide, whatever they call it now.
Yeah, I think it's Titus Worldwide.
Now it is. I actually like the Titus brand better, though.
Mm.
But I think they did that because of that baller brand thing. That's why they changed it. So Darren Young, then they started doing the whole thing with Bob Backlund about making Darren Young great again, and you know, and then eventually Darren Young took a pretty nasty fall on the ring apron on a match, I believe it was on Main Event, which doesn't even play in the United States.
Right.
You have to watch on Hulu if you are going to watch it, which I do most of the time. But even though the last several weeks it's been like the same fucking show week in and week out, like, really, they've been booking Dash Wilder versus either Rhino and Slater in like one company, either Rhino or Slater or Rhino and Slater for the past like 5 weeks in a row. And then the other match would be like a cruiserweight match. So it's been like practically the same show. I think this week they finally did have something different. As a matter of fact, Matt Hardy was on Main Event this week. Matt Hardy
wrestled. Oh.
Who's the Curt Hawkins?
Oh, okay.
And I think, and Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews wrestled Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. So they actually did have something different this week on Main Event. For a change.
Well, there you go.
After 5 weeks of pretty much booking the exact same match. And Dash Wilder lost all 5 weeks in a row.
Oh, God.
So that shows you where the revival is in the pecking order.
Yeah.
So Darren Young, though, he got hurt. And then after his injury, he's been off television. And it seems like this was one of many injuries. Like every time Darren Young got some momentum going, he got hurt.
Yeah.
So it kind of doesn't surprise me that they released him. To me, I think they probably should have released him a long time ago because he is so injury prone.
Yeah.
And I think they probably just kept him around because he was the first openly gay professional wrestler and it was a good PR thing for the LGBTQ community. But to be honest, I think they should have let him go a long time ago. So, not surprised there.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm a little miffed about Emma. I get Summer Rae. I understand she's been out for a while. I get it, and I get Darren Young, but I'm miffed about Emma. I really am.
I mean, Summer Rae, though, I really did like Summer Rae as a talent. I really thought
she was a great heel.
Right, and on NXT, like them having the faction that they had where it was her and Sasha Banks and Charlotte or whatever, that was actually kind of cool. Like, she is very good at playing the bad guy, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's just unfortunate. I think that she also has been plagued with injuries as well. But she, like, I thought she would have been perfect if they would have kept Breezango heels and put her back with Fandango, because she was with Fandango as his dance partner, and of course she was the fashion consultant or whatever for Tyler Breeze, so she had worked with both of them in the past, and I thought it would have been the perfect thing to put her back with them if they were going to be a heel team, but looks like now they're more baby faces. So
that would have been fun to see again.
Right.
Or fun to see her work with both of them.
And, yeah, I liked, of course, she had the famous scene in Total Divas where she smacked the shit out of Natalya,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was very entertaining. I like Summer Rae.
You've always liked Summer Rae.
And, right, because even on Total Divas, how, they were... She was the only one that had the balls to tell Eva Marie she couldn't wrestle. And the other girls were, like, blowing smoke up her ass and acting like Summer Rae was saying something incorrect when she said she couldn't wrestle. But then later on, they started saying the same shit. And I'm like, Summer Rae was just keeping it real.
Yeah, she was actually the only one that pretty much did that.
And Naomi,
Yes, Naomi too. But Summer Rae really, like, would keep it 100% all the time.
Right. So I actually always did like Summer Rae there. Of course, former XFL player, or LFL player, Lingerie Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the Legendary Football League. But Danielle Monáe, and actually, you know, I followed her on Twitter. I still follow her on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. And I have noticed, like, recently, even though she's been on WWE TV for quite some time, she has not been using the name Summer Rae for quite some time. She's been using her real name, Danielle Monáe, on her social media and stuff. Like, almost for the last 6 months or so. I mean, even though there are mentions of Summer Rae, yes. But she's mainly been using her real name.
She probably has other job offers, so I'm sure she's not out of a job or not making a paycheck. She'll be able to get something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I'm still, you know, it's unfortunate. I wish that she would have still been there, but WWE and their craziness. But then, of course, my girl Emma, Tennille Dashwood, unfortunately, she has been let go only a week after making her WWE singles pay-per-view debut against Asuka in what turned out to be a competitive match after many people speculated that it was going to be a squash. They actually let Emma wrestle in a very competitive match against Asuka twice, not only at the pay-per-view last week, but also on this past Monday's Raw. And then days later, they just fired. So I don't know, did they do that so that she looks good going back on the indie scene or something? I don't know what the fuck was the purpose of that.
I don't know. I think that's a dick move.
Very much so. And who gets fired on a Sunday? I mean,
yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like, three people on a Sunday, two of them I get, but one, you really have no reason to give them a pink slip and send her walking. Like, they really don't.
And especially with some of the things that have been going on in WWE as of late, namely with people like Neville walking out and Nia Jax reportedly walking out. And I guess it pays to have relatives in high places, as in the case with Nia Jax. Now, if this is true, now, you know, there's a lot of rumors and stuff, so we can't really say for sure. But if the rumor's true, and there are some pretty reliable sources that are stating this, Nia Jax apparently walked out after refusing to job. She was supposed to be in the pay-per-view against Sasha Banks last week, TLC pay-per-view. And instead, that's why you ended up getting the Alicia Fox, Sasha Banks match again for the third or fourth time. And, you know, it didn't quite make much sense, but that's the reason why, because it wasn't supposed to be Alicia Fox. It was supposed to be Nia Jax. So apparently, Nia Jax got upset because she was supposed to lose this Sasha Banks. Didn't want to do it. And apparently called her very powerful cousin, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and he suggested that if you are unhappy with your spot, leave. And she did.
That's sage advice.
Right. And because of her cousin, of course, they're not firing her. They're keeping her and just letting leave. And, it helps to have somebody that's got some stroke like The Rock, you know?
Yes, it does.
So they let her take her sabbatical, if you will. She is expected to return by the Survivor Series, where she's most likely going to be a part of the female elimination match. And that's fine. But they let her walk out. Meanwhile, Emma has been the good employee, coming to work, doing what she's supposed to do, and she's the one that gets fired. But
yeah.
Emma's not related to The Rock, so I guess that...
True.
That's it. But that's really fucked up, though.
It is. Like I said, when I heard about it, I was like, really? I was like, what? It really is a dick move. Like, that's the first thing I thought. What a dick move.
Exactly. Now, there have been several wrestlers who have been upset with the way they've been portrayed on TV. I mean, even fans. You know, I constantly complained about Emma in particular, and a lot of people really were upset about the whole Finn Balor thing last week after, you know, he's been placed in a very lukewarm to cold program, to say the least, with Bray Wyatt, which really wasn't going anywhere. And then as a result of Bray Wyatt's illness and him being pulled from the pay-per-view, he wrestled AJ Styles, which was a dream match that people wanted to see for a long time. The fans were so, so, so hyped about this, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, so much so that before these guys even locked up and the bell even rang, they were chanting, "This is awesome already. This was a dream match." People always wanted to see, you know, the old Fergo Devitt, who was Finn Balor's name in New Japan, versus AJ Styles, the two leaders of the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Head to head, two former leaders of the Bullet Club. And finally get this match on the big WWE stage. Very good match. Fans were all souped. This is the moment. They're finally going to push Finn Balor back up to the top of the card again. Remember, he was the first Universal Champion.
Yes.
And then after the injury, he's just kind of been in that mid-card there. So they thought this was the moment. And then what happens on Raw? He gets squashed by Kane, which just made no sense. Like, why the fuck would you have him win? And then the next day, just let him get destroyed by Kane? By Kane, of all people. Who had been gone himself. He's running for mayor.
He is.
And comes back. And I mean, Kane, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. No disrespect to Kane. But, I mean, they you know, have the angle about Mickey James being old and she's 38. Kane's 50.
Yes.
And there's no mention of Kane's age whatsoever. Instead, they got him beating one of the younger performers in a squash match on Monday Night Raw the day after you had just put him over. You just killed everything. Like, it makes no sense.
They sometimes don't make sense.
I mean, is McMahon going senile in his old age? Like, what the fuck?
He might be.
It really is retarded.
I mean, it just... Triple H just needs to take over.
Yeah, somebody does.
Yeah.
This is just not working.
No, it's... Like, some of the stuff is really a little on the cray-cray side. Like, he just needs to take a step back and let Triple H do it. And, you know, we just watch the bank accounts. That's all he needs to do. That's all he should worry about. Just watching the bank accounts. Don't worry about everything. Your family's got it.
They did have their financial report for Q3. And, you know, they did make more money this quarter than they did last quarter. Actually, one of the most successful quarters they've ever had in terms of profit. Even though attendance is down, they had more shows because of brand extension. So
right.
The more shows generated more revenue. And the people who do go to the shows buy merchandise, even though one of your main cash cows in John Cena is not really on the road much anymore. They still moved a lot of merchandise at those house shows. So those house shows generated a lot of money. And then the TV thing, obviously the deal with USA and NBC Universal, that generates the most money out of everything on their balance sheet there. And, you know, the network was kind of flat, but they still have over 1.5 million paid subscribers. And the network seems very seasonal. Obviously, it goes up around WrestleMania time.
Oh, yeah.
It goes up around SummerSlam time. It'll probably go up for the Royal Rumble. And then,
you
know, during off months, it goes down.
Yeah, but still, 1.5 million subscribers is pretty damn good.
Right. And that's paid subscribers.
Yes.
So that's people paying you $10 a month. So, you know, that's $15 million in revenue right there alone from those 1.5 million subscribers every month. You know, and over the quarter, you know, it would be $45 billion.
It's a lot of money.
Right. It is. So, and they get most of that, you know, which is one reason why they decided to go the streaming route instead of doing it as a traditional channel, because
yeah,
then
take the middleman out, get
the
all the money,
get split up a lot more, right? Here they take, you know, somewhere around 80-90% of that they get, you know, whereas if it was a traditional channel, they probably would get like 10%,
right?
You know, so in that game, and then of course, you know, they cut out the pyro and all that shit to cost to cut costs.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that shit worked, and the profits were through the roof. So the stock went up like crazy. I think the stock was up to like $26 a share or something like that. So that was cool. I mean, and this, that's almost like $10 higher than it was like maybe a year or so ago, because I remember it was like $15 not too long ago. It's $26.
Yeah, it's it was going down for a while there. It was, things were looking bleak.
Yeah. But, I mean, Wall Street obviously loved what the financial report said. So now, one thing that Wall Street also loves is people getting laid off. So I'm sure it's no coincidence that
yeah,
a few days after doing the financial report that they do some cutting.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do more.
I would agree with you. I mean, yeah, they might trend a little more of the fat there. But Emma, I don't think, was part of the Fed, in my opinion. She was one of the more talented performers on the roster. And they never used her right, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they killed her character pretty much from the very beginning on the main roster. I mean, I think they did her okay on NXT, but even there, she was never the champion, even though the first NXT Women's Championship tournament, she was in the finals against Paige.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, her and Paige had what many considered to be the first really good competitive female match on a WWE platform in several years. And this was after all of the models and all that had really, you know, ruined and diluted what the Divas division was. And when you saw the two of them go out and have a really competitive, good match that the fans were actually chanting for. And, you know, Paige ultimately was put over, and she became the first ever NXT Women's Champion. But it was still a very good match. And that's why when Emma does come out and say that she started the Women's Revolution, she's actually not too far from the truth.
No, she's not.
Was the first match that people really took notice of a women's match in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the way they portray it on TV, you know, you always have Michael Cole or Graves or whoever saying, like, Emma's delusional. What is she talking about that she started the Women's Revolution? Well, you know, they make it seem like she doesn't really know what she's saying, like she's just talking out her ass. But she's really telling the truth, you know.
It's a shame. Like I said, I'm kind of miffed about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really bad. Maybe she'll go back to her cooking. Did you ever watch any of her cooking videos on YouTube?
No, I've never watched any of her cooking videos.
Oh, you have to subscribe to her channel, Taste of Tennille. It's her cooking show. She hasn't done any new videos in probably a year or so, but she would do a bunch of recipes and stuff, and sometimes there would be cameos from other WWE wrestlers on there. And it would just be Emma cooking, basically, or Tennille cooking. But So I'm really pissed about that. Not happy at all. And you see, they gave her new music. That must be like another thing that they do. They give people new music and then fire. What kind of shit is that?
This is... Come on now, we've seen them do this how many times?
Yeah, several. Too many times for my liking. And that's another one, like her good friend Paige there. She's another one who should have been fired.
Yes.
But, and I like Paige, don't get me wrong. But Paige did a lot worse than Emma. I don't know the specifics of why they released Emma, but the shit Paige did, she should have been fired. The only reason why they won't fire Paige is because, once again, you've got the upcoming movie about Paige's family, and they want to be able to promote it, and so it's all money related. So of course they're not going to release Paige. Paige could probably fucking do some crazy, even crazier shit than she's done already, and they probably wouldn't fire her until this movie comes out.
That's true. That's definitely true.
But unfortunately, Emma is gone from WWE. And unlike the guys who usually, well, not usually, but in a lot of cases, they can find some success on the independent scene. I mean, you see how well Cody Rhodes has done on the indie scene. And he's now, you know, the Ring of Honor world champion. And, you know, but it's a different thing for the women. I mean, will she be able to go back to the indie? I mean, she did wrestle as Tennille Taylor on the indie scene before she was signed with WWE, but I don't know. There's not really anything major for the women. Cause, I mean, of course there's Impact, but that's Impact. You know, and they just don't know what the fuck they're doing. And no disrespect to the women there, because they've got great wrestlers there. But they don't even know what the hell the name of the promotion is. I mean, what the fuck? They
That's
don't.
Terrible. No, I know. But it's just...
They've had three names in the last, like, 4 months. They've been TNA, and then they were just Impact, and they changed to Global Force, and now they're back to Impact again.
Yeah.
After they just renamed all the belts to Global, and now they're going to, what, go back and say, oh, well, that's not the name of the belt now. It's just, like, what the fuck? That really makes them seem very Bush League, to say the least. But if she goes there, I mean, she can have some good matches.
Well, yeah, she absolutely can.
But really, I mean, I don't know what good that would be. Like, unfortunately for the women, there isn't as many opportunities as there are for the guys.
That is true.
You know, other than Impact, that's the only really viable option where you would at least be on television. You know, Ring of Honor, they're kind of starting their women's division back, but right now the whole Women of Honor division is primarily only on YouTube. They don't really play the matches on TV. Every now and then, they might do a special, like when they're in after a pay-per-view, because, you know, or Ring of Honor, their shows are all in the can, so a lot of times when a pay-per-view takes place, they don't want to play an episode that was taped before the pay-per-view because, you know, you want something post-pay-per-view. So usually in cases like that, they'll put a special episode, and that's when they will do some of the Women of Honor matches, and, you know, they've done some other best of and things like that, you know, until they tape the new TVs. But that's the only time their women are on TV, really. So it's not a lot of opportunities, is basically what I'm trying to get to.
I mean, I wish they would show more female matches on TV. I think they would do good with them.
Yeah, I mean, they used to. When they first started Ring of Honor TV way back when they were on, what the hell was Access TV called back in the day? Fuck, HDNet.
Yes, holy crap. That's a long time ago.
Right. When it was called HDNet, it was, they played Ring of Honor. And if you look at those original Ring of Honor shows that were on HDNet, they actually did have a women's division, and, you know, the women were on the show, like Daisy Hayes and Lacey and all them back then. But then, I don't know what happened, why they dropped the women's division altogether, but then when they brought it back, they've strictly been doing it as a YouTube thing. But it is the most watched videos on Ring of Honor's YouTube channel are the Women of Honor matches. So it is, it, people do watch it, but unfortunately that's the only way you can see it. And they do release new matches every week, I think every Wednesday. So, but still, you want to be on TV. Who the fuck wants to be on?
Just a home show or a house show.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Hopefully, Tennille will wind up somewhere. Wherever she goes, of course, she has my full support.
As she should. I think she should have everybody's support.
Yeah. And that is fucked up. And see, WWE knows that I am a fan for life. And as much as I hate this and I say fuck them for doing this, they know I'm not going anywhere. It's been too long. You know, it's one of those things. I've been watching it 3 decades. There's no, I'm not going anywhere. Even though, and they've done a lot of things that piss me off, but they know I'm not going anywhere.
That's true.
So, you know.
It happens.
Yeah, I still think it's fucked up, though.
I do, too. I 100% do.
And maybe one day I might not watch all of Raw as a result of it. For 1 week.
Well, that's not really that hard. Like, you could skip the first hour of Raw and not really miss much.
Well, actually, it's going in reverse a lot of times.
Yeah, you know what? That is true. They have been making it a little front heavy lately.
Yeah, because what the ratings drop off. The later it gets, the audience drops.
Yeah,
like, they have the most viewers at 8, and then it drops a little at 9, and then by 10, it really drops.
Right.
So a lot of times, that's why they put the stuff they really want you to see right at the top of the show, because they know that's where they got the biggest audience, especially when football's on. But to their credit, I will say this year they have been putting on much better shows up against Monday Night Football, whereas in the past we've seen where they almost just gave up and would just be on cruise control until after football season ended, and then they would start the WrestleMania build. But this year they have done a much better job as far as really putting on pretty decent shows, and the pay-per-views have been pretty good. I mean, especially if you look at the main events, they've had some really top-level main events. I mean, last week, of course, it was supposed to be the return of the Shield. Instead, you had the return of Kurt Angle, but still very entertaining main event. You know, you had the Hell in a Cell with Shane O'Mac and Kevin Owens. You had the Braun Strowman Brock Lesnar match. You had the Brock Lesnar Samoa Joe match. You had that Fatal 4-Way for the Universal title with all of them. Where was it? Joe and Roman Reigns and Strowman and Lesnar. So you had some really good main events in the pay-per-views over the last several months, where you didn't have that last year.
No, last year they were, like, barely scraping by. Like, the pay-per-views really weren't all too great.
Right. But those were, like, main events that people really wanted to see. I mean, you remember the Joe-Lesnar match, that was built up so well that when it came, it really had a big fight feel. I mean, it almost felt like you were watching, like, an old-school Mike Tyson fight or something. It really felt like a big, important fight, like a legitimate fight.
Yep.
And, you know, so they did a good job for a change in that respect. but they've also done terrible in other areas. But at least they're making money.
That's true.
It's all about the bottom line, right?
It is about the bottom line. Quickest way to make the most money is payroll. Start cutting the fat.
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, we see a lot of companies do that. But, yeah. And Wall Street loves it. You know,
you start
talking about, oh, I'm going to do a massive layoff. Your stocks go through the roof.
Yes, they do.
I wanted to get into this last week with the Bellator 185 show. And we saw the defeat of Heather Hardy in that match. Did you see that fight where that girl kicked the shit out of her? They stopped it because she was excessive bleeding.
Oh, she was bleeding like crazy.
And
that was a bloody match, man. They came to kill.
Right. And her first loss in combat sports ever.
Mm-hmm.
And after going a perfect 20-0 with no contest in boxing, she loses her second fight in MMA. But MMA is a different animal. Very difficult to stay undefeated in MMA.
Yes.
Because you've got so many different disciplines and people who can do all kinds of crazy shit that you don't have to worry about in boxing. Boxing, you just have to worry about, you know, protecting yourself with your fist only. You don't have to worry about somebody trying to choke you out or trying to break your ankle. Or kick shit out of you. You don't have to worry about any of that. And, you know, credit to Christina Williams there. She was very aggressive, and she did kick the shit out of Heather. I mean, I think she could have broken her nose. I don't know if she did. She kicked the shit out of her.
She did kick the shit out of her. Like, it was a lot of blood. You don't really see fights like that too often, but that was a lot of freaking blood.
It really was. And I was pissed, though. Once I saw that Heather Hardy lost that fight, I said, fuck this card, and I stopped watching it. I was so disappointed. But I was like, you have to realize that at least, and I'm not as much of an MMA expert, I would say, as you are, but you would have to say probably because of her boxing background, she was certainly going in with her traditional boxing southpaw stance and not really being like, there was no MMA aggressive stance from what I saw. She was more boxing the girl, and the girl was steady throwing kicks and shit, and she's like, I think she may have thrown one or two kicks. She was mainly just throwing her fists. And I'm like, well, this is an MMA fight. This is not a fucking boxing match. I mean, I understand that's where she comes from, but you gotta get a little more versatile if you're gonna be successful in boxing.
Yes, that's true. But, you know, it can be hard, especially because that's what you're used to. And it's like, you know, it's muscle memory also has a lot to do with it.
Right. And I guess she is more comfortable in the one way. And like she said, there is more money in MMA for women than boxing.
Yes, there is.
I mean, she would say a lot of times just for her to even get on a card, a boxing card, she had to literally go sell tickets herself. Like, she was literally hustling and selling tickets to people on the street just so they could put her on the card.
Yeah, women's boxing is not nearly as popular as women's MMA.
Right. So there's a lot more opportunities in the women's MMA field there. But, and another thing, she got started late for a fighter. At 35 years old, that's also very difficult to make that transition at that age for anybody. And, you know, I guess, I don't know whether she's going to, I mean, I guess she's going to keep fighting. I mean, what else is she going to do, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she can go again. She'll get better. That's the thing. She will get better as she continues to fight. So.
Yes, I agree. I agree. The more MMA experience she has, the much better she will get. And hopefully the next time that won't happen. But, I mean, I think it was a fair stoppage because she was bleeding profusely there.
Yeah.
And shit wasn't stopping. I mean, I don't think she could even... She probably couldn't even breathe because it was so much fucking blood coming out of her nose and
stuff. Oh, I'm sure she couldn't breathe.
Yeah. Yeah, so if she would have stayed in there, it would have been certainly a dangerous thing. So... That was Bellator 185. Looks like Musashi defeated Shevchenko in the main event then.
Yeah.
Which I didn't watch that shit. I was like, fuck this. The girl lost. And I just stopped watching. See, because it's real, you always get disappointed in MMA. It's not like the fantasy world of professional wrestling where
Hold on a minute. You don't always get disappointed, but yes, disappointments can happen. Because
a lot of times.
But, you know, it's the real deal. May the best man win, or may the person you want to lose not get a lucky shot.
Exactly. I mean, I remember, like, back in the Tyson days, watching a combat sport where you were pretty confident Tyson was going to win the fight.
Of course, right.
Until that whole Buster Douglas thing happened. Mm. But before that, you're pretty confident. I know how this fight's going to go.
Yes.
Mike is going to go in there and he's going to knock this guy's head off.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much knew it. And then that whole Buster Douglas thing happened. And I don't think combat sports have been the same after that.
That's terrible.
That was like the upset of all upsets. But, you know, it happens all the time in MMA, though. It's so easy to lose, though.
It is. I mean, really, it is a skill. You have to be at the top of your game.
With everything.
Yes, with everything.
I mean, I remember the one fight, I don't remember who it was, but the one guy, it may have been, what's the guy that he had shin snapped and shit when he kicked the guy?
Silva?
Yeah, Silva. It may have been Silva fighting where he was, like, losing the whole fight, and then he caught the guy in a fucking triangle while the guy was punching him and shit. It may have been him or somebody else. But it was a fight where the guy literally was losing for probably 90% of the fight, and the guy had him on the ground and was, like, trying to ground and pound him, and he caught his arm while he was punching him and put him in a triangle choke and choked him out. Like,
I mean, I've seen that happen. I can't tell you how many times.
I mean, it's like, how the fuck could you be losing the whole fight and then just come up and choke somebody? Like,
It's so common.
That's the world of MMA. That's why you gotta really be so skilled. Like, you can't give these guys a tiny opening, because if you give them even the slightest opening, they are gonna do some shit and beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them can beat you in many different ways.
Yes.
And that's the danger of MMA. So if you're in another combat sport discipline, like boxing, where you're literally only using your hand, like, I mean, you know, of course we had that big circus over the summer with Mayweather and McGregor. And, you know, of course Mayweather would only do it if it was a boxing match. There's no way in hell he would have gotten in the octagon.
No, not at all.
Because it would have been a different story.
Yep.
A totally different story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of these boxers would know you can't fuck with these guys. Like they are dangerous. They really are dangerous.
Yes, they really, really are dangerous.
Because they can beat you in so many different ways. That's what, remember when Ken Shamrock was in WWE, they called him the world's dangerous man. Because he was. He could really fucking beat you in a lot of different ways. And
he would.
Can.
Yes, most can.
Even his brother Frank, right? He was.
Oh, Frank's a good fighter.
Good fighter, right. So, there we go. MMA. Heather Hardy. Hopefully she fights again.
I don't think
she's boxing again.
No, I don't think she will either. But I'd like to see her in the MMA, an MMA match again. She's just got to, get used to it.
Yeah. But do you think at 35, maybe she started a little too late?
Hey, listen, she's got a dog in the race still.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is tough when you're coming.
It is very tough. Yeah. But if you're good, she can do it. She's got the skill, I'm sure.
Yeah, she does. She does. It's just, uphill battle. Now, we're talking about another person going from one MMA sport to another. There is still talk of Ronda Rousey now training to go to WWE, which, of course, would be a lot easier, going from the real stuff to the fake stuff. We thought originally Survivor Series, the horsewomen of MMA versus the horsewomen of the WWE. Doesn't look like they're going in that direction. Instead, they're doing the whole SmackDown versus Raw thing again, as evident by the big invasion, SmackDown invading Raw last week and beating up all the Raw wrestlers, the SmackDown wrestlers. Which, now that I think of it, when the SmackDown females beat up the Raw females, Emma was nowhere to be seen. I think now that was probably deliberate. They probably knew they were going to fire her.
Probably.
And probably were like, you're not going to be in this. So, because somehow everybody, when they were going through the dressing rooms and attacking all of the wrestlers randomly, you didn't see Emma anywhere. They probably did that deliberately so that when they play the footage back, she's not in the footage.
Yeah, most likely. Such dicks.
Yeah, they are. But of course, SmackDown versus Raw. So most of the card, as we know now, is champion versus champion. We've got, and all of the matches are non-title. So I guess it's just for bragging rights. So you've got the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar versus the WWE Champion Jinder Mahal, which is ridiculous. It should be a squash match. Like, nobody would believe Jinder Mahal beating Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
A chance of beating Brock Lesnar. But I don't know. We'll see where that goes. The Intercontinental Champion The Miz right now is scheduled to face the U.S. Champion Baron Corbin. To me, they probably would be better putting Miz versus Kurt Angle and let that Kurt Angle have the one-on-one match. It's supposedly a lot of beef between Kurt Angle and The Miz, but Miz would have to lose the Intercontinental title, because if you paid attention to Raw, Michael Cole did specify several times that the incumbent champions, if they are the champions at Survivor Series, these are the matches. So basically, if you lose your belt, whoever is the reigning Intercontinental Champion would face the reigning U.S. Champion and so forth and so on. So you can easily pull Miz out of this match if he loses the Intercontinental title.
Yes, you can.
And it wouldn't make more sense, because really a heel versus heel match with Baron Corbin doesn't make much sense.
No, it doesn't.
The tag team match might be pretty good, where you got the Usos versus Ambrose and Rollins.
Okay.
And then the two women's champions against each other, Natalya versus Alexa Bliss, which is not a bad match. I mean, you got Natty in it. You know, she can carry anybody to a good match.
That's true.
And Alexa Bliss has gotten a lot better in the ring. And I love Alexa. Not as much as Emma, but I do love Alexa. But that should be entertaining of all of the champion versus champion matches. And then, you know, they're going to have the traditional 5-on-5 elimination matches with the SmackDown team versus the Raw team. But, you know, one women's match and one men's match. With the team captains being named, at least for the women's match, they named, and for the men's match, I think Randy Orton is the captain of the SmackDown team, I believe. I could be wrong. Who knows? And the captain of the women's team is... Who the fuck is the captain of the women's team?
I'm not sure.
Alicia Fox.
Oh, there you go.
For Raw. But for SmackDown, I thought they did the captain of the SmackDown team as well. They may have. Who knows? See, I watch SmackDown, and I don't watch SmackDown.
True.
Like, I watch it, but I'm like, not really paying attention to it. So I don't know what the fuck was going on. I think
that's kind of still what everybody does with that. Because, like, that's kind of been a staple. Like, you watch SmackDown, but you don't really watch SmackDown.
Right.
Because it was always kind of more like a second-class show, so to speak, or got that feeling. And now that they're split again and it's not that bad, it's like now you got to get back in the habit of paying attention to it.
Right. And that, I think that's what the beef is storyline-wise for this whole SmackDown versus Raw angle is the SmackDown performers want to kind of say we're not the B show, that we're just as good as these Raw people, if not better. And a lot of the people that were really good on SmackDown, McMahon moved them and put them on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which he seems to do. Like, I guess Raw is his thing.
It is. He loves it.
Raw.
Yes, he fucking loves that. That's his baby.
It is.
That he's got Stephanie, he's got Shane, and he's got Raw.
Right. Right. Because I guess because he created it and it helped him become the top promoter in the business by putting WCW out of business. But, I mean, yeah, Raw did. And Raw was great during the Monday Night Wars. You know, really good TV. But a lot of it was also WCW's fault. The fact that you had, you know, the level of incompetence running WCW that was is really the reason why the organization folded more so than Vince McMahon's brilliance. It was just the other team, they had no idea what the fuck they were doing, and they ran the company into the hole. And McMahon benefited because of that. And then you had the bigwigs for Time Warner who really wanted to get out of the wrestling business, so they sold them all the assets to WCW for $5 million.
Yep.
So it really was more of a boardroom decision and the utter incompetence of the competition that kind of led to him winning the Monday Night War. Like I said, not to diminish what they did, but it's not like he vanquished them because they were so much better, which they did have a really good product.
Yes.
But a lot of that took place in the boardroom.
True.
You know, if they wanted to stay in the wrestling business, Time Warner had to deep enough pockets, they could have stayed in the wrestling business. And, you know, they owned several TV networks, like TNT and TBS that are very popular networks that are in, you know, 100 million homes or whatever they are, and they could have easily kept their wrestling show on one of those channels where they would have had a huge, you know, potential audience. So, you know, if they wanted to stay in it, they could have. They just didn't want to stay in it.
No, they didn't.
And McMahon benefited from it as a result. But, I mean, I guess I could kind of see why he does have that kind of loyalty to that Raw brand, because, you know, Raw helped him win the war.
It did. It certainly did.
But SmackDown, at times, you know, a lot of people who are wrestling fans like SmackDown better, because a lot of times, because it's not 3 hours, so it's easier to watch. They don't always do as many out-of-the-ring skits and things like Raw. And a lot of times, it's more wrestling-based. So people who do like in-ring action sometimes do gravitate towards SmackDown because it's an easier watch, and it's more about wrestling and less about the sports entertainment thing that Raw is.
The way I also see it is, like, they still put a lot of, like, the bullshit fluff on Raw. Like, you know, the spots and the promos and shit like that, where you don't see that as much on SmackDown still.
Right.
So it's, like, it's nice. It's, like, just a better, I can't really say a better product because it's the same product, so to speak, but it's, like, a better version.
Right. Right, especially if you like the in-ring performance more.
Yes, absolutely. It's much closer of a product to, like, NXT than to, like, the, you know, the pomp of regular WWE.
Right. But don't let McMahon hear you say that, though.
No, not at all, because God forbid.
Yeah,
one day of that is already enough.
Yeah, he will do, if he hears you like something better than Raw, one, he will do his best to dismantle whatever you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seems like they go out of their way to not get any of their wrestlers over, except for Roman Reigns, which is very odd. I guess maybe he feels bitter because of what happened in the past where guys that he made went to the competition and then, you know, he suffered as a result of him making them into big stars, and they used that against him, like what Nash and Hall did and Hulk Hogan and, you know, some of the other performers who left and went to WCW. Who knows? Maybe he's afraid to make anybody that big in fear that they would leave and do that sort of thing.
That's true. That could be very true.
Because now, you know, they don't try and get anybody over, it seems. The way they book that shit. I mean, the Finn Balor.
No, they really
thing,
don't.
That's a good example. You know, you have him winning in a really hot match on Sunday, and then you squash him on Monday.
Yep.
Before he gets any damn momentum going, let's kill this off right now.
Amen,
you know,
to that.
Braun Strowman, he was, you know, really catching fire. People wanted to see him win the belt. And what happens? Brock Lesnar beats him with one F5. Cooled him right off.
Yep.
I mean, seems like they deliberately do it.
They probably do.
You know, they, I mean, and now we know in November, in a couple of weeks, they're going to start selling the tickets for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both know before the first match is even announced, most of that stadium is going to be sold out. I mean,
yeah.
They're doing it at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome again in New Orleans, which is 74,000-75,000 seats. You're probably going to sell about 50,000 or 60,000 of those before anybody even knows what the card is.
Yes.
So they know the brand is so strong, people are going to buy the tickets regardless.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like back in the day, you know, WrestleMania 3, where they sold the 93,000 seats, but that was on the back of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
Yes, that was.
Who at the time were the two biggest stars, arguably, in the business.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't really need that now. The WrestleMania brand itself is so strong, most people are going to just buy tickets because they want to be at WrestleMania. They don't give a fuck what the card is. The main event could be fucking, you know, Hornswoggle versus somebody. They don't care.
Hornswoggle versus Doink.
Right. Or Deke. Right. As long as it's fucking WrestleMania, they don't care. You know? So, and they know that. They know that people are going to buy regardless. They know the network subscriptions are going to go up around WrestleMania time. Mm-hmm. They know some of these idiots are still going to pay the traditional pay-per-view price.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that shit is just going to happen like clockwork automatically.
Yep.
And nobody has to be over to do it.
That's the 100% truth.
So maybe
it's crazy.
That might be the mindset now. You know, let's not put anybody over but Roman Reigns.
That's possible. You never know.
They need somebody to be that PR face of the company like John Cena was.
Yeah. Roman Reigns needs to get over his meningitis first.
Right, or mumps or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure they said it was meningitis.
I heard both.
Oh, all right.
So I don't know. And then, of course, the Rotunda brothers, both Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt, are both out.
Yeah, there's also one of the women are out, too.
JoJo, Bray Wyatt's woman.
Yes, thank you.
So, yeah, it's all in the family there. Well, of course, he was cheating on his wife with JoJo, of course.
Yes.
And JoJo is fine as hell.
Yeah, she
is. I can see why he cheated on his wife with JoJo. And I told you, I didn't even notice how attractive JoJo was because I would see her every now and then. I didn't really pay her much attention. It wasn't until I went to one of the house shows and she was at the house show and I was like, God damn, JoJo's attractive. Like, that's when I really saw how good she looked. And it was just like, you know, I'm not mad at Bray Wyatt for cheating on his wife.
I mean, I can't be mad either because I have to agree with you on JoJo.
Yeah, very attractive one. But so they're all sick. Hopefully they will be back soon. Even though JoJo's mother claimed she's all right, but she hasn't been on Raw for the last couple of weeks.
Well, they're saying she was. They took her out for quarantine only.
Okay.
Because she's the closest to him all the time. So he got sick. He was confirmed sick. So they figured take her away just so nobody risks any type of infection or anything like that extra.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So who knows? Oh, and Todd Phillips, where the fuck has he been?
Oh, I have no idea.
He's been off of SmackDown for the past couple of weeks, which Michael Cole's been filling in. I'm wondering, did they do that just for the release of the game? Because if you notice, without Todd Phillips and Michael Cole filling in for him on SmackDown, the SmackDown broadcast team was Cole, Graves, and Saxon, which is the exact same commentary team for the video game.
True.
And did they do that deliberately to push the video game? Because they even mentioned that oh, we happen to be the commentary team for the video game, but and Todd Phillips is, quote, on assignment, whatever the fuck that means.
Oh,
2 weeks
on assignment.
In a row, he was on assignment. So, I don't know. Maybe he's sick too. Who knows? Maybe he's cheating on his wife with somebody too. Maybe he's somehow in that whole Rotunda family mix up there. Who knows?
Quadrangle?
Yeah.
We'll just start keep throwing people in there. It'll be like a dodecahedron.
it could be some really crazy mess. Who knows? But I think they're probably trying to put over the video game. That's probably why.
They most likely are.
They did.
As if they aren't making enough money off it.
Right. It'd be like, you know, of course we're going to notice that you got the same damn commentators pretty much on Raw that are on SmackDown. Even though it's supposed to be two separate brands. Which is like, well, you know, they need to bring Todd Phillips back. Not that I like him or anything, but...
they need someone different.
It has to be somebody different. Right. Especially when you're pulling this invasion angle. And, you know, you're doing the invasion angle, you're the same fucking guy is calling both shows. You know. A little weird. In my opinion.
It's WWE.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens this week, and maybe there will be more releases. We will find out. But I'm interested to see what happens with my girl, Tennille. See, now we can't call her Emma anymore. Now she's gone.
Yeah, now she's just Tennille.
Right. Because, you know, they own the rights to Emma.
Right.
So, that was a stupid name anyway. So that's it for us this week. We want to thank everybody for listening. Remember, log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow, and subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. For Maris, I'm Tony Lane. We will see you next week.
Think out loud. The Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in that this is considered entertainment?
TonyLaneShow.com.